Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And welcome to the first ever episode of Chronicles of Narnia. My name is Martha Reddick, and I am your host. This is a podcast made for nannies as a nanny resource podcast by me, a nanny, to help you come up with ideas to do with the kids that you nanny. For this first episode, though, I'm going to spend some time introducing myself and giving a little bit of a background about how I got into nannying and why I love it. And to help me with that, my guest for this episode is my fiancé and co-producer, Logan Nielsen.
Hi.
Hello. Hi. Welcome.
I am not a nanny.
No.
Because after this, you are going to have nannies on.
Yes, as my guest, I will have friends of mine who are also nannies. Right. But for this episode,
because you're kind of the guest of this episode a little bit.
A little bit.
Of why you're doing this show, because you brought this up just not that long ago. You just suddenly started talking about how you wanted to do something with nannying.
It is my full-time job, and also it's something that I love, and whenever I post pictures on Facebook or Instagram of projects that I'm doing with the kids, I get a lot of really great response and, oh my gosh, what a good idea. And so I thought this would be a good way to share that with others of my friends, because a lot of my friends nanny.
Yeah. It's a more and more, I don't know, common job now than it ever used to be. It's a very common occupation, and I mean, especially us, we're in the arts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a comedian, and you're an actress, and so there's a lot of people.
There was also, I believe it was a New Yorker article about how many, many people who have gotten their degrees in education are choosing to be nannies rather than go into education because
you might hear some rustling. We're pushing back our dog. We have a dog. The reason why we're having to push her back, she's trying to get between us. Should we just reveal?
Yeah.
We're recording
from inside a fort that I built.
A blanket fort. Yeah. Because that's going to be kind of the topic of this episode.
Yes. So after I introduce myself and talk about my background a little bit, we're going to talk about my fort building philosophies because I feel very strongly about them.
Yeah. But it's an enclosed space that we have, and our dog was trying to barrel through, and
she sees how awesome my fort building skills
are. And there's just not a lot of room. She's about to bang into both of the mic stands that we have, and she has a cone on too because she's recovering from some procedures. She says she's good.
She's doing really well.
But it gives her a giant weapon attached to her head.
So yes,
she just knocks stuff over. But I'm sorry.
So anyway, In the article, it talked about how a lot of people with teaching degrees are choosing to go into nannying instead of teaching in a classroom because nannying sadly pays more a lot of the time.
Yeah. Well, and we're out of Chicago where the education system is
is in a sad, sad state. Some people are making some poor decisions in politics.
So it is strange. If you actually want to help children, you need to just go spend time at one of their houses.
Yes.
They can't come to you anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Well. Exactly. And it is really rewarding. So let's talk about my background. I have my master's in secondary English education with a theater degree tacked onto that. And so I spent a year teaching high school, and I really did enjoy it. But I realized in that year that there was no way that I could pursue any sort of artistic fulfillment on my own if I was going to be in charge of a classroom, especially a high school English classroom, because you put in, you know, your 40-hour work week, and then you have papers to grade and you have lesson plans to do. And so when I moved to Chicago, I decided that I was not going to teach, but I missed working with kids a lot. And so when I first got here, I actually was taking kind of any job I could get. Right. And a family friend of mine reached out and asked if I could take notes for a business meeting that she was having that was over a dinner. And I said, sure, yes, anything that will pay me would be great. the rent is crazy here. And so I went, and when we were sitting down to dinner so that I could take notes, I asked, does any of this have tree nuts in it? And the woman that I was working for said, oh my gosh, are you allergic? And I said, yes, I am. And like, I have an EpiPen for it, but I would prefer not to use it. And she was like, do you babysit? And it turns out that her twins are both allergic to nuts and peanuts. And finding a babysitter who understood that and knew how to look at labels and knew how to operate an EpiPen was a find for her.
And that's just what got you in it.
And that's what got me started. And then
was saying like, yeah, no, I know what nuts are.
I know my way around an EpiPen. And then actually my second nanny job in the city was also for a child who had allergies. I went on the website Sitter City and put my profile out there. And after getting that first job, kind of because of my nut allergy, I decided to include it. And
it finally paid off for something.
It really did. And with the price of EpiPens, I'm glad that it has, because they are crazy expensive.
So it is now a problem that is paying for itself now.
Yes, yes. And my joke, when the first couple years that I was here, because all of my families were allergic to something, is that my master's in education was getting me less work than
your severe allergy to
my
tree
nuts. Allergy. Yep. Than my knowledge of an EpiPen.
No.
So that's how I got started.
Because did you have any plan on going into nannying before that? Was there ever any?
No, I had certainly babysat, and I had always known that I wanted to work with children in some capacity. I somewhat expected it would be older children.
Because of
my secondary education degree. But when I was 12, I did take a class at the YMCA in babysitting, where they...
Really?
Yes, I did. One, because I was bored and it was summer.
What?
And I missed school.
Oh, you missed school.
I did.
Yeah, this is not so much about the nannying podcast, but this is just the difference between me and Martha is that she misses school. She misses the structure, the homework, I could not miss that any less. I could not. When I got out of high school, I was so thrilled to not only be out of high school, but also to leave my hometown and to just go into the world. And then college was just like, I just was doing that to do that. And that was over too.
I very much I love learning, but I do also the part about structure is also very
important. And that's something that'll probably be covered in future episodes, because you're such a nut for organizing
and planning,
which goes great with creating activities.
Yes,
but also in just you know,
and
things you have to keep track of for kids.
My master's degree in education certainly helped with that. My knowledge of how to make a lesson plan. I don't think I've ever typed up a formal lesson plan for a nannying activity, but I certainly do use the same structure of what is the objective of this activity and what are the materials that I need and things like that, which I learned in grad school for education.
So there's going to be a lot of worksheets you can download for this podcast.
Oh yeah. Probably that is true.
But okay, so real quick, this babysitting class at the YMCA. This is the first I've heard of this.
Yeah.
What did that entail?
Well, it came with...
They were just like, outlets, don't let them touch it. Like
That was covered. That was a page.
It was a full page?
Yeah.
How big was the font?
There was some coloring activities for you or the child. Because remember, I was 12, which really isn't old enough to really be in charge of anything. That's the John Mulaney joke of a horse babysitting a dog.
It's like, a horse watching a dog. We were dogs without horses, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But in it did have a CPR element to it. So I became CPR certified by taking the class, which was one of the reasons. And then also... It came up with activities for babysitters, which now, like, thinking back on them, maybe play hide and seek with them. Like, they weren't great ideas.
Ever heard of board games?
Yeah.
I don't try one of those. It's the game says how to use it. So that's all we're covering.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming.
Just open the box. And it was like, go for a walk. They weren't great ideas, but it shows my interest at a young age in taking care of smaller children.
And then did you some babysitting when you were younger too?
Yes, I did. Some of it was, you know, the kids across the street, they're having a party and I'm the one in charge of all of them. But
I babysat a couple kids one summer.
Yeah.
Like once a week. So it makes sense I'm on this show.
Yeah, exactly.
I've dabbled in child care.
Yeah. But
I think I was like 13 or something. I also was a horse watching dog. Yeah, should not have.
They let kids watch other kids.
Especially the more rural you get. More rural you get, they're just like, eight? Nah, you can handle these. Like,
exactly. Like, yeah. In the city, that certainly doesn't happen as much because if there's an emergency...
Yeah.
Like, Lord knows when the police are going to show up. It might take a while.
Yeah.
So it's good to have someone that can handle it until then. But anyway, and so I moved to Chicago 5 years ago now. So I've been nannying for almost 5 years because I moved in August and I started... with my first family in November.
Wow.
So.
And then since then, you've nannied full-time since then for a bunch of different families. You've been referred by family to other, like every family you've gotten, you never really had to apply for.
No, I've never applied since that Sitter City is the only, that one family on Sitter City is the only time I've ever applied. For a job.
You've done that, and then now you work with theater companies with educational outreach with kids and stuff like that. I'm just saying your credits to make
Thank
you look
you.
Good. I'm just trying
Thank
to
Thank you so much. Yes, I do work with
I'm a comedian, so I've studied, you know, Carson and Letterman. This is what they do. I'm asking you a question.
Thank you so much. But yeah, I work with theater companies in their educational outreach and then I nanny full time, and now I'm down to mostly just two families. I still visit and do date nights with some of my original kids, but most of them, sadly, the parents
go on the date night.
Right, I don't. Yeah, that's
not,
true.
You're not taking the kids out to a nice restaurant.
And no.
Seeing how things are.
No. We mostly.
Yeah. Well, there's some too, because some of the families that you've worked for a long time, you've become very attached to, and some of them are outgrowing you a little bit.
Yes. And they are.
I think everyone can hear how you feel about that. So at times when you will ask like, "Hey, this coming Thursday, you know, this family wants me to. Are we doing anything?" And I'm like, "I don't really know." And she's like, "Okay, because I'd like to. So if there's anything, just go."
Yeah, I really enjoy seeing the kids that I've known since they were two.
Yeah.
And some of them are seven now.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I know. They've grown so much.
Because that's such a huge leap, like, as kids, like, from that range.
Yeah.
Of going from helpless to then, like, I guess I have to go to school now, like, that in that specific area.
Right. Yep.
So yeah, you
and watching their personalities develop mm-hmm. is amazing, and super rewarding, because things that there were glimmers of them being interested in when they were younger, then blossom, and sometimes you know they also become not interested in things anymore. But one little boy is very interested in Star Wars, and now he can run circles around. My knowledge, certainly.
Yeah, the amount, just with you, how the amount of times you will text me.
Yes.
It'll be a picture of a superhero or a Star Wars character, and you'll just be like, "Who's this?"
Because I don't know.
And they will ask you until you.
They do. And the kids that I'm with sometimes will be like, "Can Logan come over? Because he seems to know more about this than you do."
Yeah, we need to talk to the guy who's read the comics. You know, like, not talk to the lady who's talked to the guy who read the comics.
Exactly. And I know, you know, I really only know the movies because I've never read the comics. And so my knowledge is subpar eyes.
The second they pick up a comic, they are expanded universe to you.
Exactly. And they have like magnets of expanded universe characters, and that's where you'll get texts.
Yeah.
Because they're kind of old school drawings too. Yeah.
I've had that. My mom will call me too when she's with my nephew, and she'd be like, "We found this one. He looks like this." Because my nephew's very, I mean, he's brilliant. He's a very smart kid, but also he needs to know the answer. He just wants to know.
He can't walk
who
away.
This is, what's their story?
Right. But anyway.
Yeah, sorry.
That's okay.
Sorry, I keep diverting. We made the mistake of building a blanket fort in the summer.
Did.
It is so hot.
It's so
we
hot
are
in here.
Sweating so much right now.
Yes. But let's segue
let's
into
transition
talking
into that. Yeah.
Yeah, about the fort. So.
Well, and something too, I think just you didn't say up top that, but like you're also gonna on this show, you're gonna be covering stuff like this, like forts and activities, but also you are gonna cover like real
issues. Exactly. And I've got some friends that each have their own set of specific stories or just expertise, sometimes expertise about more serious topics as well.
Well, and some some of the people you have lined up too gave you ideas that you just utilized recently when you switched to a newer family.
Exactly. Yeah.
And stuff like that.
Because there is something, and this is one of the reasons that I wanted to do this show, is nannying can be so isolating. It's the same as stay-at-home moms that never go out and socialize. Because when it's just you and the 1 to 3 children that you're most likely watching, that can be really, really isolating.
Well, it's even weirder because you have essentially a parental role.
Right.
But you also have to answer to the actual parents.
Yes. And sometimes through the children.
Yeah.
So the way that the children see how the day went is often the only impression that the parents are getting of the day.
Especially right when you first start, before they know who you are.
Yes. And so that's a topic that we'll cover kind of that transitioning into a new family.
Yeah. What are some other things? Anything you want to tease? Maybe things you're going to cover?
We also, one that I'm really excited about because it's been a huge hit with every set of kids that I've ever done it with is a spy day. that's a whole day dedicated to being spies. And photo scavenger hunts is another big one that I love to do with kids. And that one's super nice because you can do it different seasons. Another is sibling rivalries is something that we've got on
the
books.
How to start them.
Yeah.
How to
how to really
pit, how to pit them against
them
each other.
Against each other. Just point out the flaws.
No, no, just kidding.
Just kidding.
It's the exact opposite.
Yes. No, how to help new siblings, new big sisters or big brothers learn to love their younger sibling. Because a lot of times that's a really tricky, hard thing for
a kid.
And
something, one you'll be covering soon too, because it's going to be happening right as this is coming out, going back to school.
Yes. Yes. Going back to that school stuff. and separation anxiety that comes with that sometimes.
Especially because you're going to be, you have siblings that you're working with. One is going to go to school and one's going to be home.
Right.
And that's a whole different thing.
Yes. And then also kindness and helping foster empathy in the kids that you nanny. The world needs a little bit more of that. And so we'll talk about some activities that will help with that.
Sounds like a great idea for a show.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know.
Thanks so much.
I don't know if my write-off has been clear from the fact that I just set up a bunch of sound equipment in a blanket for it. But now I think I'm fully on board.
Oh, okay. Well, welcome.
Thanks. But speaking of blanket forts, though.
Yes. So we built a blanket fort with what we had, which I will cover first. And then I'll talk about what I usually use in the places that I nanny, because most of them have similar things. So we used... in one corner, we have a mic stand, which probably will not be in the place that
you
nanny.
Don't know.
Yeah, you don't know. You should always look around and see what you can find. In another corner, we used a step ladder with a chip clip to help hold
the
sheet
on top of it.
In another corner, we have a director's chair.
Yep, that's...
Which is great. And then
a gift from my time in film school.
Yes. And then in our last corner is a rocking chair, which has a very high back. So that's really what I would suggest starting with is trying to find the highest back chair. And a lot of families have nice high back dining room chairs.
Right.
Which is great.
We don't have that.
Yeah, we don't have that. We're not fancy.
We've decided to not settle on the extravagant dining set for our smaller, small-ish Chicago apartment.
Yes, we're waiting on that.
We're waiting on the giant table that we can sit on either end. And
yes. But if the family that you nanny for does have a giant table, that's great because just build around that.
And also make sure they're not vampires, because
that's key.
Usually when I see those, they're in movies that take place in large gothic castles. Usually when you see tables like that. So that is
like red flag number one.
if you are in a castle and there's a long table,
just maybe
you've either gone back in time or this is some sort of vampire situation.
Yeah. And they don't all turn out like Twilight. Some turn out better.
Yes. Some turn out funnier.
Yeah.
More fun, better movies in general.
But anyway, so what I would suggest doing is going into the linen closet of the family that you're nannying for and finding their largest fitted sheet. Fit two corners of that sheet around the corners of the dining room table, the opposite ends of that long table, and then placing chairs out as far as you can get them.
So you start with the table and you branch out from the
table.
And
I branch out from the table.
Interesting.
Because the table provides, for children, it provides a really nice height usually. For children that you're nannying especially, because usually those are in the 2 to 5 range.
And it's kind of an extension of the fort itself because you're building the fort at the end of the table.
Right.
Right. And then, so you're utilizing the whole table? You're covering the table in sheets?
Covering the table in sheets.
Oh, okay. I thought you were branching off of it.
No.
So your table was like a hallway. like a foyer.
Which you can do that as well. But no, I meant cover.
So wait, are you just talking about putting a sheet on a table? Because that doesn't sound like you built a fort.
No, that's step one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And then you place two dining room chairs facing away from the table.
Okay.
Put the other end of the fitted sheet, because usually if they have nice high back chairs for a dining room table, they also have a king size bed for the parents. But if not, it's usually a queen, which is big enough.
Right.
And so you place those two dining room chairs as far away from the table as you can and put that fitted sheet over it.
Well, so that's what I'm saying. That's what I was saying. You're branching off of the table. The fort itself isn't the table.
The sheet goes over the table, though. It's covering the table.
The entire table.
Yeah. And okay. Then branching off of that. Because a table is usually smaller than a king size or queen size bed.
Right. Unless it's one of those giant ones, yes, in a gothic,
exactly,
castle.
Gotcha. And then they probably have a bigger bed too. Right.
And also, why build a fort? Because you're in a castle.
Exactly. There's probably secret passages. Find those.
Probably start pulling books on the shelf. That's gonna spin.
Which is my next suggestion. So to counterbalance
what?
To counterbalance the dining room chairs so that they don't tip.
Use books. Okay. I was gonna see how is she gonna bring this one home.
But if while you're pulling,
how's she sticking the landing on that segue?
If while you're pulling books you find a secret passage, abandon the fort and go explore that. That's my advice.
That's fair.
So counterbalance with those books so that it's structurally sound, because the last thing you want to have happen is a fort collapse on a child.
I'm truly waiting for ours to collapse on us while we're... It looks like it is losing weight, and I'm waiting for that.
And securing that fitted sheet, especially on the chairs, but on the table too, with chip clips is... a really, really good idea, because that just keeps it nice and secure and not falling. Given if the sheet falls, that's the other nice thing about a sheet, is that if the sheet falls, it's okay.
Yeah.
So from there, then I build off of that. So in one of the families that I nanny for, the dining room table is right next to the couch. So I build it from the dining room table to the couch and then extend. So a lot of kids have like pop-up tent type things, right, that you can put next to it, like a fire truck or a Disney princess castle.
Wait, what? What are you talking about? What?
They have these pop-up tents that...
I know, but then you said like a truck?
Yeah, one of them is a fire truck.
Like a picture on it is, yeah, a fire truck, or it, yeah, is a fire truck.
I mean, it is, but it's because it's painted on the little plastic sides.
What?
So it's...
I do not understand what this is. Is it in the shape of a tent?
It's in the shape of a fire truck.
Oh, it is. Okay.
But it's made of like tent material, and you know, like the bendy parts, like the poles.
The little poles has
poles in it, but they're all encased. You don't take them out and put them back together.
Right.
But it folds down into a square.
But it looks like a fire truck?
Yeah, it looks like a fire truck.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty cool.
Well, just that's what I was just, since I was a kid, those shapes have gotten crazier. They've gotten more fancy. Yeah,
they have.
The pop-up tent technology.
It doesn't have like wheels on it, and it doesn't roll.
I didn't think it had wheels on it, Martha.
But it does have them painted.
I did not think it was an actual fire truck, because then you would say, no, for some reason we go outside and the children play in the fire truck they own. I didn't think it could hook up to a hydrant. I didn't think anything like that.
There's no pole to slide down.
Well, that would be a firehouse. Now that's a whole other thing. Now you're saying...
Never mind.
This is a mobile fire truck fire station situation. A fire RV.
Back to forts. So from there, you can build...
Always dodging the big questions.
From there, you can build off of that and expand into other regions. Another way that I build forts frequently is... if they have their beds in the same room, if there's two kids and their beds are in the same room, a lot of times that provides you the space in between those beds
right.
will provide you with a really good area to make a fort.
So then you can just put like, what do you, you use like a broom or something?
Yeah. So the one that I'm specifically thinking of, they have mattresses tucked under their beds
oh.
for sleepovers. So I pull those mattresses
slide out
into the middle and then, and I actually will include a picture of this because I have one and I've gotten permission from the family to use that picture. And so I'll slide those
beds
out.
Where can they find the pictures?
They can find the pictures at Chronicles of Nania on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter.
Oh my goodness.
And Nania is spelled N-A-N-N-Y-A.
There you go.
But
you pull, so you pull the mattresses
out.
So
pull the mattresses out, stick the broom in between those mattresses so it stays upright.
And then you drape a blanket.
And then you drape a blanket or a fitted sheet over top, connecting it to the edges of the bed.
Right. Just as we're talking about this,
the bed knobs.
Yep.
And broomsticks.
Your genuine excitement at that discovery.
Because it's true.
You mentioned both of those things. You're right.
I did. That's all
and
you need.
Is that what that movie's about? It's about forts. I've never seen it. Is it about blanket
no.
forts?
Oh, no, okay. It's not.
That's fair. But I was just like, I realized I'd never really built any blanket forts, but...
Yeah, they're really, really fun. You can also use...
And they also grew up in the country, so we would just put up a tent out
yeah.
in the yard. So.
Yeah, that's... You can also put up a tent inside a living room. If
what?
A family has a tent... And you build that inside the living room, the kids
well,
go
yeah,
crazy.
Probably did that, but that would be, yeah,
yeah
I probably would have just, we probably just put up a tent instead of a blanket for it.
Now, I will extend this warning. Once the children know that you are good at fort building, you will be asked to build forts almost daily.
Yeah.
So you have to maybe have special occasion forts or things like that, or your quickly built forts. Sometimes I'll build them just out of couch cushions that are meant to be destroyed in seconds, but also easy to put back together
right.
in seconds. If it's just a buying me time sort of fort.
Yeah.
If it's an all-day excursion, then you put some time into it. It's also a really great way to encourage reading. If children are at the age right on that precipice of being able to read and not necessarily wanting to go off by themselves and read,
right.
a lot of times you can build a fort and say, like, we're all going to read inside this fort. And something that I often do with the kids that I nanny is I bring my own books. And we have reading time where all of us will read together. And that's with a little bit older kids.
Right.
But even with the 2-year-olds that I've worked with, if you take out a book and give them a stack of books, they'll flip through them quickly. But just getting that like reading bug in their system of like, oh, this is fun.
Right. And you're saying with bringing books that you bring yourself too, because they're not. It's a treat when you show up with them or they're not bored with them.
Yes. And Target about once a year in their dollar section will have classic novels for $1. And so like I got A Little Princess and read that to some of the girls that I nanny and they really, really enjoyed it. And
cool.
so a lot of those ones that are just beyond copyright.
we're getting into copyright law now. Okay,
yeah,
well,
exactly. We'll be
before,
in there
what,
for
1920,
a dollar. Yeah, yeah. Or ones that they can just produce really, really inexpensively.
Right.
The BFG is going to cost you, but A Little Princess is okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but something from the 70s, copyright still exists on that.
Right.
You know, but...
1870s, fair game. So yeah, and so then you're reading with the kids and there is this excitement for when you all get to read together,
right?
And then also sometimes I will bring my own book and we will like an adult book that only I'm going to read and we'll just have quiet reading time where we're each individually reading. And that I for sure do with older kids who are ready to read, especially with reluctant readers. It really helps them because everyone's then reading. And so they're not having to go off by themselves. Because I found with reluctant readers, a lot of the time it's the fear of missing out that they have to go off and read all by themselves.
Well,
and
when I was a kid, I was somewhat of a reluctant reader. I mean, I still am.
Yeah.
And, well, shut up. But no, but it was like a big thing for me is just, it feels like homework.
Right.
That's a part of why, you know, I get impatient with books, you know, or it's like with me, like the books I like are nonfiction. So at least if it's going to kind of feel like homework, I want to learn something. I want to get kind of, you know, that out of it. So that's why with novels, I get bored sometimes. But even as a kid, it was like, oh, you need to read a book. Like, why? Because people need to read. And then that never registered me a reason to read books.
Right.
To be like, look, it's either something you want to do or you don't want to do. It's not something you just do to show the world you're doing it. You know what I mean?
Right. But if you build a fort and you all go inside fort read together.
That actually probably would have helped me.
Yeah.
And like in school, like when it would be a quiet reading time for everybody, I would read. I wouldn't get a lot done because I would be easily distracted as a child. But
yeah. But that's something that I have found helpful, with reluctant readers is actually building a fort and making it cozy inside.
Yeah.
Is very helpful. 'Cause then you're also showing that you're putting in work too.
Nice.
To like help them feel comfortable with reading. All right, so we're going to wrap it up for this week.
First episode.
Yeah.
How does it feel?
It feels great.
Awesome.
I'm really excited.
Great.
To share all these ideas. And then we are going to end every episode with a fun quote, just to end on a nice light note.
Fun quote from the kids.
From the kids. From what?
From the kids.
Yes, from the kids. I thought you said the kid.
I might have said that.
Okay.
But you just made it sound like fun quotes. It's just then you're gonna
from
I was just establishing you're not just gonna read like a movie quote. It's not gonna be an Abe Lincoln quote.
Each week we're gonna end the episode with a quote from a kid that we have nannied, are currently nannying, things like that.
Yeah,
so
a little dinner mint.
A little dinner mint.
Something light. Little, take with you
a little laugh to send you off into the week. So for this one, a little bit of setup, it was so hot on this day, so very hot, and we had a long way to walk from the parking lot into the nature museum, and a car did not wait for us to walk, even though we had the right of way and a crosswalk. It just drove right on through and kind of scared us, startled us for a second. And the little girl that I was with, she's 7, said, "Well, that was rude, but I get it. It's too hot to be nice," which just was perfect.
And after this summer in Chicago, she's not wrong.
She's not wrong. And it was this summer in Chicago and on one of the hottest days.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was. It was too hot to be nice.
Well, great.
Thanks so much for listening. Thanks, Logan, for being
here. Of course.
It was great to have
you. I'm excited to see where this goes. I'm excited to help you do it. I think it's great.
Thanks so much. See you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye. The Chronicles of Nannia is produced by Martha Reddick and Logan Nielsen. Artwork and logo by Noni Amadon. Theme music by Brad Kemp. Find him at secondbedroomstudio.com. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Chronicles of Nannia and on Twitter at Nannia Podcast. To contact us, email chroniclesofnannia@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.